Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Scooby-dooby-doo.
Whoops. And welcome to the ATS Mix Show. I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit. What's happening there, John the Nader?
Well, I'm kind of glued to the TV right now because at the time of we're recording this, which would be the other day when you guys get to hear this show, I'm watching all the news broadcast about the tornado and the baseball-sized hailstones bombarding parts of Colorado.
Yeah, my accountant lives in Greeley, which is exactly where a lot of this on-the-scene CNN reporting thing was taking place. And that's where the, I think it was a kindergarten or something that got, you know, basically leveled. But they had transferred all the kiddos and some other people into the bank vault to secure them. It was a lot of devastation. When I called Jim, my accountant, he answered the phone. He says, "No, we're not dead." Because, you know, the caller ID pops up.
Sure.
It's me, you know. And the only time I ever call him is, you know, tax time. So, yeah. But he said, well, there's a lot of devastation up there in that area.
And, of course, we want to send out our condolences and our best wishes to all our members and listeners who are in the Colorado area. And we hope that you're able to make do with what you have and able to deal with the situation as it is. Mother Nature sometimes is not a easy person to deal with.
Kind of like Johnny and I.
That is true. And speaking of Johnny and I.
Wait. But our definitely, Johnny and I, just want to tell you, all kidding aside, that seriously, our thoughts are with you guys up in the Colorado area because it really looks like you guys really took a hit.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, speaking of hits, you know, a couple episodes back, we had Stan Deo on for an interview, and he was talking
I love Stan Deo.
He was talking about all the earthquakes happening there in the
I love earthquakes.
Nevada area. Send those U2Us to Dave Rabbit's Earthquake Fund.
Yes.
We're attempting right now to get a ATS member by the name of Charlotte King to join us. And I believe you even have a thread up for questions. Is that not correct?
That is correct, John and Nader. It's in the guest area. And actually, even though we've done a couple that were kind of suggested by ATS members, Johnny and I are going to try to incorporate suggestions that you guys post on the guest area for possible, guests for the ATS Mix Show. So, yeah, you guys go in there and ask some questions before we actually interview Kathleen.
Charlotte King.
And Kathleen?
Yeah. And speaking of such, it is because of what one of our members posted by the name of Vision Quest in the aliens and UFOs area back in, 2/25/08. So a couple of months ago, he or she made a thread called Ed Grimsley, Night Vision UFO Footage Video. There was a lot of members that were interested and concerned about this footage that a gentleman by the name of Ed Grimsley had shot and posted of some objects up in the sky. So we did an ATS investigative report, and we actually got Ed Grimsley on for an interview after I had gone up there for myself, along with ATS member Synthesis, to check it out ourselves. So that's going to be on our interview this show.
And speaking of this show, we've got a great show. We also have, of course, all the sightings from around the world from our ufologist community.
As we already mentioned, the interview with Ed Grimsley, we also have our second portion of Mad as Hell, where Dave Rabbit went out on the field to ask people if they were mad as hell with the prices of gas and how it was affecting their lives.
We didn't get a chance to hook up with a skeptic overlord, so we move immediately from that point into a very special Rabbit's Rant.
And why would it be so special, Mr. Rabbit?
It's special because by popular demand, we're going to play the audio version of the butt dart game when Spencer Tracy came to Dallas.
So you have all been pre-warned.
Yeah, there's no passing gas or anything. So that, you know, it's just, you just hear the quarters hitting from our buttocks.
And here we go.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above topsecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamaril from godboxcafe.com with sightings from across Canada. After 2 a.m. on May 10th, southeast of Coaldale, Alberta, in the northern sky, a witness who is frequently up at night due to a back injury sustained in a car accident looked up in the sky to see what at first appeared to be a jet off in the distance traveling eastward. Turning to gaze elsewhere briefly, the observer then looked back towards the object just as it took off at incredible speed with a burst of light. According to the witness, who's familiar with aircraft behavior and not prone to flights of fancy, the directional change and increase in speed put it in a category superior to any known human aircraft. Earlier in the day, at 1:30 p.m. on May 10th in South Windsor, Ontario, skies were sunny with cloudy periods, when a witness happened to see a dark-colored, any-sized object in the sky, flying silently from north to south, make a 90-degree turn to the east and disappear. The observer estimated its altitude to be approximately 2,000 to 3,000 meters, and it was the shape of a small walnut. By the time the witness called for his wife to come to have a look, in all of 15 seconds, it made the turn and was out of view. The HPCC UFO research site received an undated report submitted by multiple witnesses in British Columbia who were out burying the family dog, which had been tragically hit by a car. One family member turned to spot something unusual and drew the others' attention to it. They all turned to see a spinning saucer in the sky that appeared to be made of stainless steel, and as it spun, it wobbled, reflecting the sunlight off onto them like a mirror. It hovered low enough for the reporter to see grains in the metal hull. No windows, doors, or any other markings were visible. As the entire family stood frozen staring, the object began to spin quickly, wobble, ripple, and jolt higher into the air, then spiral upward and silently disappear. Shortly thereafter, four American Air Force jets flew overhead at high speed, the whole incident taking place over more than 15 minutes. This is Tamaril from Godbox Cafe, reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Here are the latest U.S. UFO sightings for Above Top Secret. This is David C. In South Carolina, about 20 miles south of Charlotte, observers witnessed three groups of five lights in a backward C formation hovering over the highway, one group above the other. The lights would get extremely bright and then fade to a continuous glow, still bright and twinkling, but not as bright as before. After about 2 minutes into the sighting, the bottom group of five lights took off suddenly eastward. The other two groups remained stationary above the highway. After 30 seconds, another group, or possibly the same group of five lights, re-entered the space above the highway and took up the formation below the other two groups of lights. The witnesses watched the lights until the highway turned and they were lost behind the trees. Occasionally, there was a break in the trees when the lights could still be seen at the same approximate elevation and still in formation. In Texas, as the sun was just coming up and the sky was bright and clear, a cigar-shaped object was observed sitting in the sky about as high as the clouds. The object sat there for about 10 minutes, then started to move forward very slowly. There appeared to be windows or portholes along the sides, but no wings or tail rudders, just a cigar shape, round at both ends. The viewer stated, "At first, I wanted to believe that it may be a blimp or something, but I've seen blimps all my life, and I've never seen one that high in the sky. This object was at the same height as the lowest clouds on a clear and bright morning. It went into a small cloud, and I waited for it to come out the other side, but it never did. I waited for about 10 minutes, but it never came from behind the cloud." In Montana, a bright amber golden-colored light was observed on the western horizon rising above the mountain. The size of the light seemed to be about the size of a penny if held at arm's length. Not more than 3 or 4 minutes later, another light, followed by three more, were seen slowly rising from beyond the mountain in the west in succession. They floated up very slowly, as if one took the place of the other. One appeared to move slightly southward, one stayed in place for about 30 seconds, and the others just kept moving eastward, closer to the center of the sky straight above. Each slowly faded away, one after another, and disappeared. This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
A-T-S Mix. Featured interview.
Well, you know, Dave, not too long ago, we had a number of members here at AboveTopSecret.com. They started a thread up concerning a gentleman by the name of Ed Grimsley, who has made some claims here and also has a website at www.edgrimsley.com. And we'll hopefully have a link up on our interview thread post for everybody to be able to click on while they're listening to this interview. But they had a number of concerns about Mr. Grimsley's claims of being able to see a number of craft and space objects in the sky over Calistoga, California. And his claims are these are not satellites. They turn, they battle with one another. And we found that to be so fascinating that we ended up talking the three amigos of AboveTopSecret.com into giving me out their credit card and letting me go up there to Calistoga to go witness for myself, along with another ATS member, and see if these claims are true. Now, the only way we can really get down and dirty in this part of the investigative report would be if we actually have Ed on. So at this time, we would like to bring on from Calistoga, California, Mr. Ed Grimsley. Hello, Ed. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Well, that part where you said get down and dirty. I mean, yeah.
Sorry, that's in the next room. First off, thanks for joining us here. And thanks for putting up with my partner Johnny for a couple of days out there in the wild woolly flatlands or
well,
whatever.
He's not that bad once he puts his clothing on.
I was fixing to say, did he get naked on you?
No, well, a lot of people at the Skywatch ask him to please control himself. And so,
well, as long as he didn't pull out his stuffed panda bear, and you would have been okay. So if you didn't see the panda bear, then you actually got the clean version of Johnny Anonymous.
Okay, well, then we don't have to bring soap to the next meeting.
Whoa. Well, that's a prison movie, but we won't go there. All right, listen, Ed, I ask all the people that really are into this kind of field of the same question. I mean, whether it's ufology or whether it's paranormal or ghost or anything to do with alternative topics, and I'm going to ask you the same question. First off, how old are you, Ed, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm 63. But,
okay, we're about the same
age. I'm actually 4 okay. in one sense, and 63 in the other, because I died during heart surgery about 4 years ago. And so when I made it back, I don't know if I'm supposed to start over again or just keep going with the 63.
I'd vote for start. Keep going with 63. So you're 64. Okay, now here's my question.
No, I'm 63.
Okay, March. Whatever. Okay. The question is, Ed Nader, is that... when you were a kid, what really – was there any one particular thing you can think of that really got you, going and got your juices flowing and you wanted to pursue it?
Are we talking about women or UFOs?
Well, either one you want to do, but probably our listeners would rather
UFOs,
hear about your UFO experiences.
Yeah, UFOs. I was up on Mount San Elena. It's 4,200 feet and head of Napa Valley. And my uncles and my father and us, we were walking and hiking. We used to do that quite a bit up on top of the mountain. One of the people in the group said, flying saucer. And I turned and looked, and there was a flying saucer. It had pulled up right beside of us at eye level, probably 300 yards maybe out from us, and the mountain had dropped off away from it. It was above the mountain. It was just sitting there, and it was the neatest thing you saw ever, could imagine.
Right.
And then another one pulled up beside of it and then kind of eased back around. It just sat there, and no noise. You couldn't even hear, a gyro or anything going. And I was looking at it, and I picked up the little pair of field glasses I had and looked at it even closer, and then... somebody said, hold still. And I said, why? And I took my hand and I waved at it. And one kind of wobbled a little bit, like as if it was waving back, and then and away it went, and the other one behind it.
Wow.
So I definitely, at between, I think it was 10 or 12, I knew they were real.
So where were you living when this happened?
I was living in Calistoga. I still live in Calistoga.
And this is where you took the Johninator and entourage, right?
Yeah. boy, we invited him up and went down to the Little League field, and I think I surprised him on how much activity is there and what they could see with the glasses.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I'm lucky I didn't announce it ahead of time because the police have been patrolling the area now.
Oh, really? Is it against the law to go there?
No. They've been looking for John.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that website. We have to, we're working on taking that website.
Me and that panda bear.
Yeah. It's not a pretty sight.
So you're about 16 now later on, right? And something else happened about that time, right?
There's something that happened kind of in between.
All right.
And there's the old High Rocks Road, the old mining road, and people hike and walk on it a lot now and mountain bike it. But it used to be an old mining area way in the back and going in towards Lake County direction from over the Stagecoach Road. And I used to ride my dirt bike out there and go hunting and out up in there. It was just a little Honda 90 with trail gear set up on it. And I was 15 and a half, somewhere in there. And I'm up there one day riding, and this man flags me down. He's standing in the road, and he's an older man, which I am past that age probably now. But he flagged me down, wanted to know where he was. And I told him, well, you're on the mining road here. And he says, well, no, what state am I in? And so I told him. He says, you're not going to believe this, but this morning they brought me to the surface, and I'm from North Dakota or South Dakota, he told me. And about this time I was thinking maybe I should ride on, but you know, I was young and gullible. I listened.
And how old are you now at this time?
63, and at that time I was 15 and a half.
Okay.
And the man was real serious and looked intelligent. He didn't look like he'd been drinking or anything. And so I listened to him, and he says, can you help me? Because I haven't had anything from my evening meal last night. And they brought me to the surface, and I've been walking all morning on this road. And I says, well, who are they? And he told me that he met them at his home state while hiking, and they offered to take him within the earth and show him their way. And he'd been down there like it and was traveling with them, and he thought he'd been gone a week or two. When I told him what date it was, he'd been gone a month. And so they traveled with him, and they showed him inside the earth and the different things that were there, and basically taught him their philosophies and told him what they thought, and that they didn't want anything to do with the surface. So, you know, I'm 15 and a half years old, and I think, well, maybe he spun a bearing someplace or, you know, had something going on. But so I gave him a ride out, but then we get into town, and we pull in at the old airport next to a bus station, and there's a hamburger stand there and that. So he had no money on him. I bought him a hamburger and a milkshake and that, and he asked me if I'd help him call his wife. And he would like me to talk to her first so she won't scream at him too loud and tell him that he's been within the earth and that he's okay. I said, yeah, okay, I'm done. Go ahead, let her yell in my ear. And she did, and said, put him on the phone and that. And so she had told me he's been gone for a month, and the search parties were out looking for him and everything. So I'm going, okay, well, that part's true. So he got on the phone, and you could hear her yelling at him in the background and then thanking him and I love you and God, I thought I lost you and all that. So then she gets me back on the phone and she asked me if I can help him get a bus ticket home because he has no money and she doesn't get paid from her job for about 2 weeks. And I said, well, okay, I'll do what I can. So I went home and found out how much money I had, came back, checked the bus station to his place, and I still needed an extra $20 to get him on his way. So I went down to the shoemaker, who was a hunting and fishing partner of my family's, and he had a shoe shop in town. And I talked to him, and Harm Walker says, well, Eddard, he says, you're not as smart as I thought. You're never going to see that $20 or that other money, but you're still going to owe me $20. And I'll do it because you're a friend, but I think that man is crazy. He loaned me the money, and I got everything rounded up, got him a bus ticket, got him spending money and can of soda and some apple and fruit and stuff to take on the bus. And away he went.
Wow. Okay.
Two weeks later, I gave him $56, and 2 weeks later, I ended up with $66 in a money order from the wife.
Really?
So I thought, wow, that is so neat. And the shoemaker friend was wrong, and I got my money back, gave him his money. But I don't have the address. I don't have anything. And they're both probably dead by now because I was 15. Now I'm 63.
Yeah, they're dead.
I wonder who out there has family that they know the story. It was maybe their grandfather or something.
Wow. Well, now if you get some people knocking at your door wanting money, Ed, then you'll know who it was, right?
Yeah, it was must have been his relatives, huh?
Yeah, and if you'd like to call Ed, it's 1-800-ED. That's 1-800-ED. All right, let me ask you a question while we're talking about this. You know, you had an incident that occurred when you were hunting with your dad. Tell me about that.
Yeah, in 1961, one of our hunting partners, Jeff, so I won't say his last name because he's a winery owner now and he wouldn't want to have people think he saw UFOs, but Jeff and I, my mom and dad, and then another hunting camp that was next to us, some of the people from Calistoga and Santa Lena area. And it was Thursday night, 2 days before deer season. And I'm stretching about 9 o'clock at night. I'm looking up and I see these stars are moving at each other and they're circling and they're firing and blowing up. And I just like, oh my God. And I yelled and I woke everybody up in the campsite with me and the campsite next to me, and all these people are laying on their backs on the sleeping bags and stuff watching. These things, they were coming from everywhere. It was like flies on a piece of raw fruit or something even better. And some would chase each other, and some would go head-on at each other and fire beams, and then fire as they passed and went beyond them. And there was craft blowing up. It was like a Star Wars movie before Star Wars ever was thought of.
Maybe that's where Spielberg got the idea, you think?
He might have saw the battle. I'm going to have to... somebody's supposed to introduce me to him. And so when I do, I'm going to find out if he saw what I saw.
Well, say hello to Harrison for me when you meet him, will you?
Okay. He know you?
Nah, he won't know who the hell I am. But it didn't stop you from saying hello to him. Yeah.
Well, he probably...
Yeah, he doesn't want to acknowledge. See, Johnny has to acknowledge it because we're partners.
I'm going to have to separate you two. Let's get back to the hunting incident where you're laying on your back.
Okay. I don't know why he's doing that. He distracts me. I mean, he's a professional, and I'm an immature.
I love that.
Well, did anybody else see what you were viewing when you were laying out there after?
Yeah, there was actually about 12 other people. In the hunting camps, plus there was four people and me and the hunting camp, the czars. So they looked, and about an hour and a half of my father looking up and watching them, he says, they're definitely spacecraft. They're definitely fighting, and they're blowing the hell out of each other. But he says, I'm going to go back to bed. And I said, what? Look at this, and you're going to go to sleep? And he says, well, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're fighting over, and I don't know whose side I'd be on, and my .270 deer rifle won't reach them. And he says, and I'm tired, but this has been good for the hour and a half. And he says, stay up as long as you want, but sun's coming up. You're going to be going into town with us. I said, okay. So I stayed up until like in the 5 o'clock, 5:30 bracket and watched them all night long. And I watched the way they had maneuvers and they turned certain ways. And unbelievable.
Wow.
I watched over 45 craft.
And what year was this, Ed?
I was counting them. In 61.
Okay. How is it that you actually got involved with finding out that if you were using military infrared Generation 3 goggles that you could see what it was that you experienced when you were younger?
Well, I've always wanted to get a pair of night vision so you could see the animals and the coyotes and whatever's running around out there. And I thought, if I looked into the sky with these, I wonder if I could see the spacecraft, because they lit up and now they'd light up better with this. So, you know, I dug way down in my pocket, and I was at a gun show in Nevada, and I bought this first pair, and it was $3,900, and I think that was in 98.
Wow.
99.
It's a buttload of change.
Yeah. And like I said, I had to reach really deep. So,
and I'm not going there, Ed. Go ahead, Finn.
Yeah, not that deep. But anyway, I just couldn't wait. And so the night after the show, on my way home, I stopped up on Donner Pass, where the Donner Party got trapped.
Right. Really? Is that close to where you're talking about?
Yeah, that's not too far away from our first sighting. That was about 30, 40 miles by Crowfly.
Golly.
But coming back from Reno, coming home that night, it was dark. I pulled up by the top of Donner Summit, and the first thing I saw was, looking at the hillside, there was a couple of nice deer munching around on some brush. And then I turned and I looked up and I looked into the stars, and pretty soon, here comes something, and I followed and locked in on it, and there was two beautiful UFOs, big circular ones, and they were only probably a mile high, and they were big. I mean, we're talking probably 150 feet around across the circle.
Right.
And they were just cruising like they were on a patrol or something, you know, like a wingman and his flight leader.
Can I ask you a question, Ed, while we're on this story? And for those that aren't as familiar as you and Johnny are, tell me about this night vision goggle things that you guys took on this trip, this field trip of yours. I mean, you said they're military grade. Is that what you said?
Yeah, they call them PV7s.
Okay, but what does that mean to, like, the average person listening like me? So I guess what I'm asking is, do the goggles that you guys use when you pursue this kind of thing, do they do anything other than be able to see things, you know, obviously enhance them? Do they magnify anything or not?
Very little. I think they're maybe a 1.5 or something.
Okay, so, yeah, that's what I want to get across is that when you're talking about these big round discs, you're not talking about looking through something that magnifies the image.
You're
talking about something that just allows you to see
at
nighttime. Got it. Okay.
Looking at the real deal.
Okay, got it. Well, Ed, you know, I know we've got so many things to talk to you about, but I've got to ask you a question. You know, Johnny and I last year, I believe it was August, John and Ader, if I'm not mistaken, we attended the Bay Area UFO Expo, and while we were there, there was a group of people that were going to go up on the rooftop of that hotel that we were staying at, and we're going to try with these goggles that you've been talking about, and we're going to try to see aliens and UFOs and all that stuff. Were you happen to be in that group? I don't remember if you were.
Yeah,
weren't.
I was the guy with the goggles telling everybody.
Oh,
real, you
were
guys.
You really?
Ah.
Well, John, John wanted to go up there, but we got hung up. You know, we didn't have enough change for the toll booth.
Who was it that went up there with you, Ed? Was it a skeptic or something?
Well, there's a few skeptics, and then there was Jordan Maxwell and another fellow named Charles Osman. He was looking at the glasses last, and it was a little darkened area that was better than the other. And I told this one gentleman that was a real skeptic, these things are bull, and you're seeing birds and bats. And I says, no, we see a lot of birds and a lot of bats, and they look different. And I had the one pair, and I handed them to him, and he's looking up, and I had a little laser pointer pin, and he's looking around, and I saw two beautiful ovals, and they're cruising across there about 40 miles up or so, and you could definitely see flying saucer shapes, everything. You could, even when they banked a little bit, you could see the domes. And I stood there, and I pointed the pin light, and he looked up, and it shined up. He's going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. And I go, well, what's wrong? And he goes, now I can't say they don't exist. And it was like, okay, buddy.
Wow.
And he handed me the glasses back, and he says, thanks. But you know what? This has changed my life. And I says, well, this, you know, it's for the good, right? And he says, no. He says, I was always worried if they were real or not. And I said, well, now you can stop worrying about them if they're real or not. And he says, yeah, but now I'm worried because they are real. Jordan and his lady friend and a couple other people are watching. And so we're about ready to put them away. And Charles Osman, the laser scientist, is standing beside me. And he handed them back. And so I look up, and I'm just going to put them in there, but I'm going to give it one last look. And I look up, and I catch five of them in formation. And I said, here, and I handed it to him, and I pointed, and he looked up, and he goes, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he was panicked and overwhelmed, and he got to see them. Yeah, probably 5-6 seconds, because they're very fast when they want to be.
Right.
And I grabbed the other pair, and I just got them up in time to watch them, and they kind of like, in the back ones, moved across and moved to one side. And then when they were going further out, it's like they broke off, like they were going to go out to another direction.
What kind of craft do you think they were, Ed? You think? I guess my question is: do you think they were ours or not?
Well, when you say ours, I think that we've back engineered things that have been captured.
Right.
And I think that we also have helped some aliens heal up after they were injured and in a craft. And I think that we've made treaties. I think that we have had technology sharing, and we basically got a support where I think we're helping them and they're helping us. And they may be, well, that they were here to guard Earth from maybe intruders, and they don't have feathers and wings probably, but when they talk about guardian angels, well, maybe those angels fly spacecraft and they're our guardians keeping planets safe. But, you know, this is only a thought, and it's just, it's possible, and so many things are possible. But I believe that those were either allies or ours, and we may even fly together. I've done an interview with a woman whose husband is in prison for life, who tried to quit the Star Guard fleet, and his best friend got murdered with a screwdriver. And they blamed him for it and put him away. And I guess basically he says, or she says, that if he divulges and talks about it, that gives them the right to kill him.
Wow.
That's pretty wild. Tell us a little bit about some of these battles that you're seeing up above.
Okay. I'm going to say that you don't always see battles, but sometimes you do, and when you do, it really makes it interesting. And you know, they must be human-like because they fight a lot, so that's probably relatives of ours. There's times when you'll see craft way up, maybe 80 miles, 100 miles up, 150 miles up, and you'll see them in groups of twos and threes, and then you'll see some coming from another direction, and they'll head right at each other, and then they'll break out and start circling and firing at each other. And sometimes one goes after one and one goes after another, and they're like a fighter war going on out there, like over Nam or whatever. And they blow up and they maneuver, and some will join another one and give the other one support and be firing on one direction, and the other's firing back at him. And they kind of catch him in the middle. I've seen that happen a number of times. There's these new ones that have came on the scene. I'm going to say within the last 5 or 6 years I've been seeing them. And they look like a giant jet aircraft that reminds you of the Concorde jet that used to fly across the continent there with to England, you know, the supersonic ones. And they look a lot like that. And,
right.
But there's no noise, and they're way up there. And they have one single tail coming up out of the top. So I'm sure they can fly in space and on the ground easy that way. When you see a Delta fight with an Oval, you're just going to bet on the Delta, because he can maneuver, he can spin out fast, he can turn, he can accelerate. And if he's making a head-on pass and the other one's coming at him, the other ones usually fire in a certain distance as they close on each other.
Right.
But the Delta, he slows up, And then he looks like he's kind of sandbagging for a minute. And then he will just, like a beam of light, accelerate and fire. And it's because it gives him the advantage of being in range and blowing up the other one before the other one figures and calculates when to fire.
All right, well, let me ask you a question while we're on firing at each other. And if you would, talk up as much as you can, because this is an important question. Out of all the frivolous ones that Johnny's asked, I'm going to ask a real important one. Of all these sightings, Ed, that you've done, you know, over a lifetime, basically, have you ever reported any of these sightings to an official, quote unquote, UFO reporting agency? And if not, why not?
Well, until I went to the UFO show, it was basically that most of the people you talked to either thought you were full of bull or your marbles were rattling, and they really didn't want to hear about it.
Right.
And it's like they were afraid to know there was something out there. So, in the process, I was kind of reluctant after trying to tell it in high school, trying to tell it when I was out of school. And it just didn't seem to me like nobody's going to listen. Why care? And then I heard about MUFON. Went to a couple meetings. This is after I met you guys at the UFO show.
Right.
And that's when I, last year, started making contact with other people that were into the UFO thing. And then I realized there's so many UFO experts that never had seen them. And so when I talked to George Norrie on the show there, in the interview with people, I told them how I could see them. So when I told them about what I could see and how, and I was so amazed to know that other people didn't know that I was a pioneer of this thing, and I'd been doing it for 8 years and going out and taking friends out and saying, hey, let's see how many UFOs we can find tonight. And I've got people that were just amazed when you tell them and they finally show up and then you show them. And it's okay when you have a night where there's a few out there and they're up pretty high and they're big silver or golden chips. But when they're turning and going back the other way and when they get involved and fire on one another, and I've had all my neighbors out there in the front yard and watching and friends, and I had probably shown probably 800 people spacecraft by the time I had showed up to this meeting and told George that, hey, I can see them almost any night. Well, I've had a bunch of people show up and I proved it, and I had one real skeptic about 3 months ago who was telling me it was all nonsense. It was probably meteorite dust or this or that or whatever. So I worked for NASA for 30 years. I would know. And I go, no, if you work for NASA, that means you're in the dark unless you're one of them who knows about this. And he says, no, it can't be. It can't be. So he met me at the Little League field. And he went away shaking his head saying, those are real. Those are real. You're right. He says, I got some friends in NASA I'm going to talk to. He says, I'm going to get some answers.
Yeah.
And you know, he said he'd call me and let me know, but I think they killed him because he never called.
Did they kill him or did he just disappear?
Oh, I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know, but he didn't call me, so he must have been dead.
Well, you know,
that was kind of a joke, but don't tell Johnny.
I won't tell Johnny.
Yeah, see, now he was just now. He's,
I know, but that's
now,
because he was trying to see where you were leading with it. See, I do this all the time.
One never knows
all the
with
time.
Ed.
I do this all the time with the Johninator, you know, and I mean, it drives him crazy. So it's nice that we can do a two-on-one here. We could sit here literally, Ed, and talk to you all night about all this because I just find it extremely fascinating. But, you know, I wanted you to again tell everybody where they can go, you know, what your website address is. Where
I'm
they
not
can go.
Rude. Oh, where they can go. The website. Okay.
Yeah, tell us about the website again.
Well, it's a website, www.edgrimsley.com. There you go.
Very good.
Well, Ed, thank you one more time for coming on the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Ananas. We certainly appreciate your time, and we wish you continued success with your Generation 3 goggles, and we hope you'll keep us apprised if you happen to come across something enormous. We want to hear about you spotting a big mothership, okay?
Oh, that's already been.
Yeah, we like those big mothers. All right, Ed, we're going to let you.
I saw a thing that looked about the size of an aircraft carrier.
Really?
And it had 12 fighters in squadrons out in front of it, and three on each side of it, and I think it was six in the back of it.
Wow.
And it passed over probably about 150, 200 miles out. It was huge.
Well, listen, we're going to have to wait and find out how huge it is next time we talk to you. So we really appreciate it.
I couldn't even hold my hands out big enough to say how big it was.
That's another story, but I think that's on the porn channel. All right.
No, not that.
I'm just kidding, Ed. Listen, we got to go, boy, but we really appreciate it. You're a great guy. We really enjoyed it, and I can't speak on behalf of Johnny.
Well, you know, he's a good guy, too, and I don't care what everybody else says. I think John's all right.
I love John. Anyway, we got to run, brother. We got to get this thing in post-production. So we appreciate your time, and we wish you all the best, Ed. Seriously.
Okay.
All right,
thank
man.
You much.
Take care,
all right,
brother.
Be seeing you soon, Ed. Bye-bye. Well, was I lying? Can this guy talk or
no,
what?
I will say that. John and Nader, I will say this. He was kind of a pretty good match for Dave. I think I could take him, you know, two out of three. But
I think
still.
So, too. But like I told you, man, he's the closest bit of competition I've seen. Because when I showed up, it was kind of like, wow, I didn't know Dave Rabbit had any cousins or relatives living in Calistoga.
Yeah, and you were looking for that famous fur.
No, he had the fur all over his face.
But when people hear these kind of stories, I'm talking about just the people that listen to our shows and whatever, our fan base. You know, there'll be some people that go, wow, that was really cool. And you'll have other people go, you know. But you have a much keener insight into it since you were with Ed this weekend. So maybe you can kind of give me a Reader's Digest version of you went in with certain expectations, obviously. You came back out. Tell me what those expectations were going in and what you believe now, John, as you've walked out. And knowing, everybody, that Johnny is a believer, as am I, but I think this will be interesting before we close this particular segment. Go ahead, John.
All right. Well, even though I am a believer, I am a what you may call a skeptical believer. You have to definitely prove something to me. But once it has been proven, you know, then I'm a very staunch believer. When I went up there, I wanted to make sure that I had enough data and research prior to going up there, because I was going up there to primarily debunk the amount of claims that he was making that they were able to see 20, 30, 40 craft in an evening. To me, that just sounded outrageously ridiculous. Being an amateur ufologist for all the years that I have been, and with the number of captures that I've gotten on film, video, and photographs, it just seemed to me, again, ludicrous for somebody to make claims like that. So I was definitely going up there to debunk the whole deal. And so I went to NASA. I had gotten some data from them that had listed all the aircraft and spacecraft that was going to be going overhead in that zip code area, with the thought of, well, whenever they say, there's one, go look there, there's one, I would be able to corroborate it with data or claim that it was nothing more than a satellite or an airplane or something like that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, when I got up there, my laptop that I had over about 200 bits of information and data on there from NASA would not work for some weird reason. So I had all this information, but I could not show that. So obviously, that was a big hindrance for me. Now, I have to tell you that in my own personal opinion, my own personal thoughts are, after now being able to see some of the data, I can rule out about 70 to 75% of the sightings that I personally saw up there at Calistoga as being satellites. What that leaves, though, is about 25% that I was not able to rule out comparing from NASA. And I know the difference between a bug, a bird, a plane, and a bat, that it was not any of the above. And I also know that satellites cannot turn, you know, come to a stop and turn and then go into a different trajectory. That is just right. Something that a satellite will not do. And I did witness all of the above. So,
and you captured it. You took all of your entourage of equipment up there with you to capture this stuff, right?
That's correct. We went up there with a bevy of equipment. We brought a Geiger counter. I brought an ELM, an EMF detector. Pretty much all my field tools that I would take out in the field to try to either debunk or prove a claim that a witness might make on a report. I brought all that with me, along with a ATS member by the name of Synthesis, who acted as my research assistant, who was yelling out the times for me when we would spot something so that we would have something noted and documented so I could then compare it with NASA data. Again, we went up there to debunk this, and we were not able to debunk everything. But, you know, 70-75%, as I said, I positively believe, without a doubt, were satellites.
It was like a wooded area, right? Kind of like a...
We were completely surrounded by mountains, but we're... Calistoga, you've heard of Napa Valley, which is where the vineyards are. So you're kind of sitting in between a number of mountains that surround you.
Okay, did you stay up all night?
Pretty much. Well, not necessarily all there with Ed. We stuck around with Ed till about 1 a.m. or so, and then we traversed off because we wanted to see... Well, we had an experience which hopefully we'll get shared with here when we call up ATS member.
Okay, well, let's don't spoil that because we want to talk to
this. We experienced something, and we wanted to try to confirm that what did happen was something explainable.
I got one last question before we continue on with the show. When you're up there camping out and stuff, I mean, like, do you guys like eat like hot dogs and beans, or I mean, what's the dinner fare that you guys have when you go out in one of these excursions that you go on?
Well, prior to our going up there, my assistant ATS member Synthesis, he treated me to dinner at a lovely place which you would really enjoy because I'm sure you could play butt darts there. It was called Fuddruckers.
I love Fuddruckers. As opposed to, I'm not going to say it.
Yes.
I'm going to keep us FCC. All right, but I guess here's my point. I mean, but you didn't get the munchies or the hungries anytime you were there and, you know, have a campfire going? Did you guys even have a campfire?
No. We didn't do anything like that.
No. Really?
No, in fact, I have to tell you just right off the get-go that when I'm out in the field, you've heard the term getting your second wind. Well, I'll have two or three of those that'll happen. And so I can stay up for 18-19 hours at a time without of course I get tired after a while, but
of course, yeah. Well, speaking of second wind, I mean, did you guys happen to eat bush beans or anything around the
campfire? No bush beans or anything. Is there something you're trying to lean towards? I know you're wanting to do a bit or something. All right, Dave, for you I'll do it for you, Dave. Yeah, Dave, we had some bush beans.
Well, good, because I was wondering if you captured what I asked you to do when you went up there, is that, you know, that little recreation of Blazing Saddles for Dave.
Well, you know, yeah, sure, Dave. Campfire you scene. Bet we did.
The campfire scene. Sorry. I know it's getting silly. Stop it. Stop it right now. This bit is getting silly.
You know, you make my job as a research analyst extremely difficult at times.
I know. You know, I mean, but, you know, that's what makes us Dave and Johnny. You know, Dave's got to come in with all the off-the-wall crap.
But here is something I will say, and I'd go on the record to say this, and that is I do definitely think that there is something there with the Generation 3 glasses, and I do definitely think that there should be some more research and investigation. And, in fact, because of what Chris and I experienced up there, and also my own, I've been working with infrared for about the past 9.5 years, but it's been on the very low end of infrared. There's nothing in the military grade like what we were using up there at Calistoga. And it is seriously night and day in comparison. You see stuff with this military grade stuff that will just blow your mind. But it's so pricey. I mean, even a good used pair of Generation 3 are going to cost you about $2,500, and that's used.
Wow.
But Chris and I both have agreed that because of what we saw and what we experienced, we're gonna purchase a pair. And then we're going to continue on with our investigation, and we're going to see that if we can duplicate what we saw there in Calistoga in the Sierra parts, which would be closer for me to drive to than driving there to Calistoga each time, because it was about a 4-hour drive.
Oh man!
Here's what we need to do. Let's call up ATS member Synthesis, and we'll get him on.
You want to get him on right now?
Yeah, let's get him on right now. We'll get his perspective.
Okay, hell, let's call him up.
Let me do it.
And I thought we'd just get kind of his perspective.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I'm trying to reach Mother Teresa's house. Is this the house of Teresa?
This is Mahatma Gandhi's house.
is that like Mama Hot's? Is that Nimba the Hut?
Wait a minute, I recognize
Nimba the Hole?
I recognize this voice.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm dumbfounded. Is this Dave the Rabbit?
Actually, no. My name is Synthesis.
Wait,
Chris,
that's my name.
Oh, Chris is my uncle. Uncle Chris.
I have no idea.
Yeah, Synthesis, a.k.a. Chris, because I told Synthesis that I may have some problems with my tongue getting tied saying Synthesis. But let's not waste any more time on Dave's banter. Let's get to it, because we had a great interview. John, why don't you fill Synthesis? I have to stop and look at it.
Why don't you just call him Chris?
Well, Johnny Anonymous is on here. Hey, John.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he's off probation. Okay, John, why don't you tell Chris what we called him for?
All right. Well, since you were actually a not just a partner in the drive up there, but also kind of a witness of the strange events and claims that he's been making, I thought it might be interesting to get your perspective, your side of the whole thing. So I'll let you start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, John picked me up in the Central Valley. We drove all the way up to Calistoga. And it was a good thing because I was a navigator. He didn't know where he was going. And we got there about 8:30 or something like that.
Before we got there, didn't we stop somewhere?
Oh, that's right. I think we stopped at one of Dave's favorite places. We went to Fuddruckers, and I just immediately thought of butt darts.
I love Fuddruckers. Did you guys play butt darts, by the way, while you were there?
No, we didn't.
But we discussed it.
We were on a mission.
Yeah, discussed it. Yeah, bull shucks.
we thought that would have been a perfect place for you to play butt darts at.
I tell you, Fuddruckers. Boy, I tell you, we could play. Nah, I better not go there. Okay, go ahead. Finish your story, Chris.
But I was going to say, if John had the company credit card, how come I bought dinner? What?
You offered.
What? Wait a minute. The Johninator didn't use his ATS Mix credit card?
No, it was my treat. I'm just teasing.
And then you were navigating. And did you get paid for the navigation work?
Oh no! I just wanted to make sure we got there.
Damn! What kind of friend is he?
John lives under a rock in a cave. He doesn't get out much, so I travel all over with the work that I do. But I've been up there before. It's beautiful. I've been to the Calistoga Hot Springs and whatnot.
Now, so for people that don't know where the hell it is, now I've been to Bay Area and I've been to San Francisco and I've been to L.A. So where is this place at in relationship to a landmark that everybody would know?
Well, it's northeast of San Francisco, up in the Napa Valley. It's where
all the
wineries are.
Oh,
it's very beautiful
country. Oh, gorgeous.
And there's a lot of spiritual people up there, too.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, artist communities and, a lot of artists and obviously a lot of winos. But
I love winos.
There's a lot of old money up there, I tell you. You can go back and buy some.
I don't care how old it is, baby, as long as they give Dave and Johnny some of it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm distracted.
Yeah, anyway,
that's
okay. It's very beautiful, and what it is, it's in a valley. I would guesstimate where we were in Calistoga, the valley is probably 10 to 15 miles wide, and there's mountains on either side, east and west. And we drove up and met with Ed Grimsley at a baseball park, and I was kind of surprised when we first got there because there was all kinds of ambient light, and I was thinking, this isn't a great spot to UFO hunt. I mean, John and I have gone up to the Sierras, and you try to get away from noise pollution. And, I was really curious of going with John, and because I'm real scientific in nature, and John definitely is. And, I'm not a skeptic. I believe I've seen things before that I couldn't explain, and obviously I've seen John's footage. But I had never really seen a UFO, so to speak. So, that was my mission, to go there and rule everything out, like John says, with Ockman's razor and say it's not this and it's not that. But I was surprised when we got out there, and when we arrived, there was about five or six people there, and I didn't really know who was who. But apparently there had been a bunch of people that heard about eggs, and they just showed up randomly from all over the area. And so it was neat. We set up our cameras, and John's a pro video photographer. I'm a rank amateur. Anyway, what was interesting, we got there about 8:30, set up the cameras, and it was, you know, just starting to get dark, and everybody was looking. Mr. Grimsley had three sets of military night vision goggles. So they're all looking around, and within a half an hour, people are saying, there they are, there's some. So I was like, wow, and you look up in the sky, and there's nothing but stars. And so somebody handed me one of the pair of the goggles. I looked up. They were using laser pointers, and you could see the laser pointers beautifully, and they point right at these objects going across the sky. And sure enough, you know, the illumination on those is just incredible, and I couldn't believe it. I saw my first object. Well, when I first saw the first couple of things, they were just had straight trajectories, and I thought, I dismissed the satellites. Then, while I was watching, I watched one of these objects going, and I watched it change directions, and I was like, wow. So John was getting really excited, and he had his video camera going, trying to capture some of these events. And I marked the time for John while we were doing it, and it's on his video. But what was fascinating was we saw multiple objects. I got to see, with the goggles on, I got to see two objects flying side by side, which satellites don't do.
Wow.
And I got to see two satellites going in one direction, and then one come from the other direction. The two changed directions. So it was, like, really fascinating to me. And, of course, there was a bunch of people there discussing it, and it was like it was pretty interesting. It was a nice collection of people that everybody believed, and my eyes were bugging out. I mean, I had never seen anything like that. You know, and I was trying to dismiss it as, you know, upper atmospheric things. And the neat thing was I saw bugs, I saw bats, I saw owls. I saw what planes look like. These objects did not look anything like that whatsoever.
You had never seen any type of UFOs before this event, is that correct?
Nothing like this, no. I had seen with my daughter. I have a daughter who is, she's an indigo child, and she's quite gifted. And people that don't know what an indigo child is, they're basically, I believe, the definition is they're in the 70s and 80s, all these children were being born into the earth. They had these bright indigo auras. Well, the child is psychic. I don't consider myself to be psychic. I'm intuitive. I've been told that I'm an empathic. But I think that we all have capabilities with our brains, with intuition and whatnot. And, you know, I've never been able to, you know, predict the lotto numbers or anything like that. Otherwise, I'd be rich.
And, David, I would be calling you up for favors.
Bull crap. And, I'd be right there with him.
But I'll touch on that a little bit more later, too, because there was one lady there that it was interesting. And so a bunch of the sightings were going. You know, John was desperately trying to capture some of this stuff. And, unfortunately, the camera that he had is just, you know, regular night vision. It's nowhere near the illumination of these night vision goggles.
Right.
But within an hour, I saw 20 to 25 different objects that I could not explain.
Now, is the elevation high there where you guys were at?
No, it's not. It's in a valley floor. Our elevation was probably 100 feet, maybe max.
Okay.
But mountains
do surround it, Dave.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like down in the valley kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a
thus
valley.
The word Napa Valley, Dave. Thank you.
Mountains on each side. But it's like I told you before, I was fascinated because there's so much light pollution there, you know. But with the night vision goggles, it's just amazing the resolution you can get. And I guess those were what, John, grade 3 military goggles, what do they call them?
Yeah, they call them military generation 3 grade. And from what our research has been able to show is that you apparently are able to see these objects with generation 3, but not necessarily so with generation 2 or 1. And it might be because of the different light amplification. These military goggles use what's called line pairs. And the more line pairs you have, the better illumination and clarity you can get in these military goggles. And Gen 3 and Gen 4 are the better ones. And also the more pricier brands. You're talking about in the used department for a generation 3 pair of goggles. goggles, probably somewhere around $3,000. For Gen 4, you're talking $6,000 and up. So it's not a cheap investment for recreational use. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, Chris, was that there was a point in time where you and I broke away from the group, and you were going to go over to the site and smoke a cigarette, and I followed over there to chat with you away from the group. Tell everybody what happened at that time.
Well, much to our fascination, we saw something incredible. I was standing there with John talking, and I looked and to the west, southwest, right over the hills, would appear to be a jumbo jet, and I was thinking, oh, it's just a jumbo jet making a turnaround going into San Francisco or Oakland Airport. And I looked at it for a second, and I could see it horizontally, and if you stick your arm out and measure, it was about an inch to an inch and a half wide. It was pretty big. And I saw four horizontal lights. Well, John is looking too, and he looks at me and says, do you see blinking lights? And I have pretty good vision, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, no. I said, but it's coming straight at us, and can't really see any lights, you know, nothing blinking.
Right.
So I'm staring at this object the whole time.
Before you go any further, tell everybody approximately what we kind of guesstimated this thing was from the mountainside that it was over.
We guesstimated that it was about 2 to 3 miles away from us and maybe 400 feet above the mountain range, which I guess is about 800 to 1,000 feet in range. So it was like right over the mountain range. I'm staring at this object. John realizes it's something. He runs over to the rest of the crowd. They were staring off in the other direction into the northeastern sky. And he says, hey, everybody, look at that. The whole crowd, there's probably 10 people that were looking, but only three with goggles. The whole crowd turns and looks in that direction, and it disappeared. It was gone. And I stared at it the whole time. It did not bank. The lights didn't dim. They didn't get any brighter. It was eerie. And afterwards, John and I were sitting there discussing the whole thing. We came to the conclusion that even if it was a jumbo jet and it turned off all its lights, we would have still seen a silhouette, no doubt in my mind. And nobody else saw it.
Wow.
And I think the interesting part of our theory we kind of came up with that just he and I were supposed to see it because we were really the only ones that weren't necessarily skeptic, but we were dismissing a lot of objects as, no, that's got to be a satellite. It's not doing anything. And it was big. Whatever it was big. I'm guessing four times the width of a 757. It was big because I observed airliners up in the sky with blinking lights going by with the goggles and without them. But this was with naked eye.
Wow.
And it was funny, for the rest of the evening, I had an eerie feeling that I was being watched. It was really funny. Over my shoulder, I could just feel it. You know how you have a strange feeling?
I have that all the time with John.
Yeah. But it really was quite a dramatic point in my life. And I have experienced some paranormal phenomenon in the past couple of years. You know, I got that same kind of feeling. So
well,
it was fascinating.
Let me just ask you just real briefly here. We've talked off and on since these events happened when we went up there to Calistoga. Because of what you saw and experienced, would that make you now want to investigate it more?
Oh, most definitely. I want a pair of those goggles. I'm going to play the lotto.
Well, you know what? You could actually take those goggles and have some fun with the neighbors.
There you go.
Of course, you'd have to visualize things a little bit differently, you know. But
But I was amazed at the clarity and what you could see with those goggles. It was incredible. And just so you know, John was able to capture a few images even with his night vision camera. We saw one object. I saw a couple objects that they couldn't be explained as satellites or just some atmospheric phenomenon. We observed one that skipped across the night sky from northwest to northeast, and it was blinking on and off, and the light would get intense, and then it would disappear. It's like those UFO videos you've seen where all of a sudden it's gone, then it's back, and then it's gone, but this is with light. and it was intermittent. It wasn't every 3 seconds it was on and every 3 seconds it was off. It was really interesting. And even John said, hey, I've never seen that before. Unfortunately, none of these objects were really close that you could tell they were anything other than light. You know, they were just blobs of light. I couldn't see any definition of wings or deltas or triangles or space worms or anything like that, you know. When I was looking at all of it, I'm wondering too. I've seen all the NASA footage, you know, showing like I call them the space flowers or whatever that bloom and hit our atmosphere and kind of dissipate, but I'm sure you've seen those. And then they've shown like space worms or, you know, they look biological in nature. Right. But these were definitely, obviously, they're UFOs because they don't know what they are, but I know the vast majority of the objects that we observed were craft of some sort. They weren't satellites, and they weren't planes or bugs.
And it wasn't Frisbees, and it wasn't clay pigeons,
no,
right?
No, but like I said, they were way up in the atmosphere. Ed had estimated that we were viewing 80 to 100 miles up, you know, and I don't know how I came to that calculation, but it sounded reasonable.
That sounds good to me.
We were able to dismiss quite a few of these as being simply satellites and other military objects that were in the sky, although a number of them we were not able to. And so that is where I think more investigation and research needs to be done as to maybe what these crafts or objects or whatever it was that we saw are.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, we want to thank you for your time, for coming on here to the ATS Mix and giving your side of the story of the events leading up to our being guest up there with Ed Grimsley. And we certainly appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule.
Hey, Chris, do you have a pencil and paper?
I sure do.
Okay, write this down, please.
All righty.
7, 14, 21, 29, 3, and the Powerball number is 63.
Cool.
There you go, brother. If you make any money, you got to share with Dave and Johnny, okay?
I'll give you guys a percentage.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Peace, brother.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye, Chris.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause. By giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Now, we've let the ATS Mix microphone out loose on the streets to find out what America thinks.
Am I on the air?
Are you listening?
Hold on to your speakers, because this is I'm Mad as Hell and Don't Want to Take It Anymore. Starring the people that are out there on the streets. And also with Dave Rabbit.
Well, a lot of our listeners may remember that in our last Mad as Hell segment, we had Dave go out in the field and do a little reconnaissance work for us to find out if people really were mad as hell with the price of gas. Now, when you did that, I believe gas was at a price of $3.45. Am I correct?
In Dallas, right.
That's correct. Now, has the price gone up since then?
Yes, baby puppy. Right now in Dallas, the cheapest gas, and I mean, I'm going to, like, we have gas stations called, like, Racetrack and QT or Tampax. I'm not really sure what they're called. Anyway, the cheapest gas that you can possibly get anywhere in Dallas is $3.79.
Wow.
And they're already talking, just our local news stations here in Dallas.
Yeah.
They're already talking about that. Very easily, you know how that lady last week, I kept saying, you know, how high do you think it gets? And people kept saying $5, and we were all kind of scoffing.
Right.
Now they're thinking $5 is pretty damn realistic.
Yeah.
The other thing about this mad as hell thing is, also in today's media in the Dallas area, they are now adding new buses to the Dallas area rapid transit system. And we also have a light rail system here, kind of like you guys have in California.
Right.
And they are adding more to the lines because of the huge influx of new passengers.
Wow.
Now, that tells you how bad it is. Because in Texas, you know, those little high HOV lanes, high occupancy vehicle lanes.
All right.
You know, 99% of the Texans never use those damn things, you know, uh-huh. because everybody has their own car. But now, man, what a difference it is making here in Dallas, John. How's it in L.A.? I know that's
well in our in our area we call it the carpool lane, and you have to have two or more people inside the car to be able to get in. Right. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, but ours is you have to have a Jew and a rabbi before you can use our lane.
Send those you to use to Dave Rabbit at ATS Mets.
Sorry, trying to make a bit. I know it's a serious thing.
Lordy.
But you know, I mean, really,
there's going to be a whole new version of Mad as Hell.
Yeah, I can see the you to use coming now. But seriously, I mean, John, I'm not kidding. I'm being serious. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is absolute. I have never in my 1,000 years would I have ever envisioned what's going on right now in my town, Dallas.
Let's listen into what some of the these people that you had a chance to talk with out there in the field have to say.
Have you seen, when you've gone to the grocery store, any lack of products that you can think of?
No.
Okay. Have you seen a huge increase in the way that you normally eat your grocery bill?
Compared to
last year, in other words. Have you changed the way you eat because of the food prices?
Yeah, it's like gas. It's too much.
Okay. Have you decided to maybe stock up on anything in anticipation with all the crazy stuff we have going on in the world?
Canned
goods or anything?
Well, I always done that, so.
Just in case, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, but of course you buy different products as a female.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, in when you've been out shopping, any lack of products? Maybe things that you have bought and you go, well, wow, that's kind of weird.
No, not really that I can think of.
Okay.
No.
How is your grocery bill today compared to what it was, let's say, 6 months ago?
Oh, God. I'd definitely say it's higher. It's, I don't know how much higher, but it's definitely higher. Prices are going up all the time.
Okay, but are you having to make changes in the way that you eat, your diet, whatever, because you're having to make stronger choices because of how high the things have gotten?
I wouldn't say it's that bad yet, no.
Okay, but do you see that time coming?
Sure, yeah.
Would you be a person that maybe would stock up on things just as a hedge against what it might be in the future?
Certain things, yeah.
Like what would you stock up
on? Well, especially makeup, things that I buy at the grocery store that are mostly female.
Right.
The prices on that are always going up constantly. So, yeah, I would probably do that.
Okay, this is kind of a sidebar. Would there ever be a time that you would not buy, like, makeup or something, or would you sacrifice, let's say, a meal?
Absolutely.
If you're doing a meal and makeup, you're going for the makeup.
Absolutely.
I love that. All right. Are you one of those kind of guys that maybe you see that we're in trouble times coming and would stock up food?
Yeah, I was in the military 8 years ago. Yeah.
Do you think there would ever come a time that you and your husband would maybe stockpile certain things as a hedge against it going skyrocketing in another year?
Oh, definitely.
You know, canned goods or whatever
it
may be?
Yes, definitely. We've even talked about this summer putting together a garden in the backyard. Like
have
a
you
vegetable,
really?
Yeah, a vegetable garden. Definitely, because it's just cheaper to grow it at home and just grow, you know, from scratch because it's so expensive. Bread. We stockpile bread. We get 2 or 3 loaves and put in the freezer. We got a freezer last year just for foods that we can just put in the freezer because it's so expensive.
Does the fact that the gas costs so much affect how many times you and your husband go out to eat?
No.
So in other words, you're so well set in your life. This is what I love about rich people. You're so well set in your life. You're so well set in your life. You don't care. But if it gets to $5 and they start cutting out appetizers, then you're going to be mad, right?
Right.
Okay. Do you think there's an amount of money that would so incense you that you would pick the phone up and call a congressman or write a letter?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've thought about that. You know, not for me personally, but just as for us as a society. When is enough going to be enough? I think one of the things about our society in this day and age is we don't have that anger. We don't have, you know, we're content. You know, we'll take, we'll keep on taking and keep on taking. At some point, it's going to overflow, and there's going to, you know, it's going to, I think, people are finally going to wake up and start, I hate to use the term rebel, but I can't think of another word to use for it. But right now, we don't have that anger. So if I had to put a dollar amount on it, that'd be really hard. But I think for me personally, you know, I'm already ticked that it's as high as it is. But at the same time, I still have to go to work. I still have to, you know, we still have to go to the grocery store, you know, to, you know, take the car, you know, to do everything we do. Because, you know, in Texas, you know, while we do have a pretty good transportation system, we're not, that's not enough to cover all your transportation needs.
Do you ever see a time that you and your husband would maybe rat hole this or that just to go into kind of a survival mode?
If we heard that anything was going to happen, we probably would, because in the year 2000 we did. We rat holed water, we got propane, we did all the things that we thought we might need.
You mean when the year changed, when they were threatening,
exactly,
the world's coming to an end?
Exactly.
When it goes from 99 to 2000.
Yeah, our whole pantry was full of water.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did that too. Do you think that this is something that affects all levels of income of people? Or are the people that are making a lot less money, are they harder hit by this situation than, let's say, the upper white class?
Well, I'd say the answer to that is yes. I would say the impact is felt everywhere. Obviously, if you have a larger financial cushion, you can absorb it better than if you have a smaller financial cushion or no financial cushion at all.
Right.
So I would say, yeah, I think everybody feels the sting. You know, nobody wants to spend more money for something than they feel like that they should.
Right.
And so that's why I said I'm mad as hell.
Yeah, obviously people like Trump would be an exception to the rule. I don't think Donald Trump really gives a rat's buttocks about it.
He probably doesn't even know it.
Now, I wonder how much more upset they are going to be, because in this past week, a barrel of oil hit over $130 a barrel. So, and they're already predicting that, you know, get used to it coming up to $140 and $150 a barrel in the next couple of months. Because, you know, as summertime and as the weather gets warmer, people want to drive more. So the price of oil and gas goes up. So,
and something else, John, is I don't know, did you see the announcement by American Airlines today?
No.
Okay, well, when we're recording this, obviously.
Sure.
American Airlines announced today that they are, on your first bag, okay, are charging you $15. I mean, in other words, you don't even get one bag on American anymore. $15.
Are you talking about a carry-on?
For any luggage. Carry-on, hand carry, in the belly of the plane, don't matter. $15.
Wow.
Now, is that amazing?
That'd make me mad as hell.
Well, there was five people there, a mom and four kids, and they figured to go on their trip, they're going to have to spend, because round trips I think is like $40 a person, that's an extra $200 that the airlines is going to charge them just to take their luggage on a vacation that they had already planned.
Wow.
Now, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Is that ridiculous? God almighty.
That's
I like we said before when we started this thing out, I don't see an end in sight, John. I'm really concerned. I really am.
He's mad as hell, and here's why. Who's ready for a rant? ATS Mix presents the Rabbit's Rant. In other words, what the hell is ruffling Dave Rabbit's fur this time?
Relax and enjoy yourself.
This is the Rabbit's Rant.
Yes, it is indeed the Rabbit's Rant. And, of course, as we forewarn everybody in previous episodes, the reason why we do the Rabbit's Rant at the end of the show is why, Dave?
Because we don't want to get thrown out by the FCC. And the boys in black. Now, What? Huh?
Well, I was just going to ask you. I'm sure you've got to have something up your sleeve here for this Rabbit's Rant, because you've kept it a secret all week.
Yes, we had such a positive response to how to play butt darts on the ATS Mix site.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Above top. It became one of the highest flagged articles that we had. Anyway, we're doing the audio of the actual competition between ATS Mix champions Dave Rabbit versus BTS Mix champions Spencer Tracy, who's dead, but you know we dragged him from the grave to play anyway.
So anyway, I need to do a disclaimer. You know,
nah, screw the disclaimer. Just let it roll, and we'll see how the stuff falls.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
Hey, and it's Spencer Tracy.
And Spencer and I and his beautiful, gorgeous wife is sitting across the table from us. All right, well, anyway, listen, I told you that, you know, when you came to Dallas with your beautiful wife that we were going to go to one of my favorite Mexican restaurants, and we're sitting in Nuevo Casita, which
we're
is...
We're the naked women.
Well, they come at...
You promised that, too. I hadn't seen that.
That's dessert. Mm. And because your wife's sitting here, we can only have the ones that are over 65. Yeah, saggy. That would be a little bit scary, wouldn't it? Okay, but anyway, I told you that I would teach you the game of butt darts.
Okay.
I am the you've heard of the hair club for men?
Yes.
This is the butt dart for men.
Really? So you invented this game?
I invented this game 20 years ago in this restaurant right across the
way. Have I had enough to drink here, enough margaritas?
Yes, those five that you had, I think are fine. And I hope your wife is the designated driver to go to East Texas. Aren't you here to go fishing or something?
I'll fish later when I sleep.
I see. Very good.
Yeah. It's a good nap.
All right. Well, just to give everybody a visual, we're sitting in this restaurant, and there's literally several hundred people sitting around us.
Staring at
and
us.
They're staring at us because they're figuring out what the hell are we doing. But here's what we have, folks. We have two things that you need to play the game of butt darts. You need a quarter. That's a quarter tapping on the microphone. And you need a glass.
Maybe you should drop the quarter in the glass. There you go.
Okay, you need a quarter and a glass. Okay, now, what you have to imagine, ladies and gentlemen, is that we, Spencer and I and his wife, are sitting in a booth, and like I said, all these people are having lunch and whatever, and they're kind of not talking right now, Spencer, because they're looking at us.
But what
you do in butt darts is you take the quarter, and you kind of... Here, let me stand up and show you. Okay, I'm standing. All right, let me get out. Okay.
Okay. All right. May hold that?
Here you go. Will you hold it?
I'll hold it and you stand up. All right, Dave is standing up.
Okay, now what I'm doing basically is I'm putting this quarter up my pants.
Dave. Man, there's people in this.
I know, but wait a minute. I'm clenching my butt cheeks now. Can you see the quarter?
Oh, okay, mental picture, folks.
Can you see the quarter still hanging
I will
out?
Tell you that he does have jeans on. Yes, I can see a glint of George Washington.
Still?
He's going,
see
ooh.
The quarter still
yes, I
out?
See the quarter.
Thank you. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ooch myself over the glass.
Can I get out of the way first? Hang on. Okay, all right. Dave is standing.
Now what I'm doing...
Basically over the glass.
Imagine a penguin, the way a penguin walks. Now, what I'm doing, I'm penguin walking over the glass, and I'm trying to line up the quarter from my buttocks to the glass. And
keep your back straight.
And I'm gonna release it, and I'm gonna see if what it'll happen.
Okay, let me put it down here by the glass and see if you can get in there.
All right.
Okay.
Bombs away!
Hey!
Oh, I got it the first
time. How cool
is
that crap? That's amazing.
I can't believe it. Well, now, I have a question. Would you like to play a game of butt darts with Dave?
Well, I don't have a choice now. I mean, if you bought lunch, and I would feel like I was taking advantage of you if I didn't play butt darts. You hold this. Well, hang on.
We're going to let you...
Sorry.
Okay, give me an answer.
Hang on. I'm glad you had
we're going to let your wife hold the recorder and kind of get this.
All right, hang on.
All right, now wait a minute. All right, now
be sure and you know this really looks retarded.
Put your ass up. You gotta stretch your ass in there.
I don't have much ass to go with, Dave. Come on, okay.
All right, now put the quarter up there.
I'm clenching.
Clench.
Okay, hang on. Do I have to? Okay, I have to stand over the glass, right?
That woman's looking at you. You look like a retard.
Man, I feel so sexy right now.
But you do it. You do a good penguin walk. I like it.
Standing over the glass.
Okay.
Okay, can I squat?
No.
Whoa! I almost lost a quarter. Okay, I got to stand up and do this.
Okay. 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 All right. Line it up as best you can.
My back straight?
Well, kind of.
Could you reach around for it?
All right. Go for it.
All right.
Oh, it bounced out.
Bouncer.
Oh.
Ooh, the bouncer. Okay. Well, that's zero for you.
Oh,
okay. Man. Dave's turn. All right. Here.
Okay. Well, it landed on its rim. Funny how that happened.
I'm sorry.
Had a rim job.
Sorry.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Okay.
And we'd like to do a disclaimer that we don't care about rim jobs. For those of you that have that.
The rim of the quarter, man. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay, whatever.
Okay. Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
Uchin. Uchin.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. Your turn. All right. I'm 1-0.
Oh, man. All right.
Now remember, this is the best 2 out of 3.
Well, you know, this is my first time to do butt darts.
I have to miss.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try again. Here we go. Butt darts.
Okay.
Let me waddle. Hang on. Hang on. Okay.
It bounced out again. What the? You're releasing your muscles and your buttocks wrong.
Maybe I get a little afterburner there from the Mexican food.
I don't know. Maybe the beans are kicking in.
I guess. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Okay. Here we go. And I've got this down to a science, you know. I mean, I am the president.
Your legs are shorter than mine anyway. Go ahead. It's farther to fall.
It has to do with how long your legs are. Okay.
Nice.
Here we go. And... oh, another strike!
Okay, I'm sucking it. I'm sucking it.
Zero.
No, that's 3-0. Too many margaritas.
No, no, maybe. I don't count the first one as the test.
Okay, okay, so it's two just zero. Like two still.
It's 2-0.
Don't I get like a half point for bouncing?
You have a chance.
All right, fine.
I have to miss.
All right, here we go. Can't help, my legs are longer. All right, hang on. All right, am I lined up? Mo, am I lined up?
Oh, my God.
Okay, thanks. All right, here we go.
You've gone 0 for 3. How could you go 0 for 3 in butt darts? I have never seen a 0 for 3
well,
score.
If it can be done, Dave,
okay.
I can do it.
All right, let me rub this on my jeans.
Maybe I just don't have enough sticky on it.
Okay.
Oh
God, don't even go there.
All right, here we go. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. All right, Dave is lining up his shot. This is for the championship.
Can I shove him while he does this?
ATS Mix versus BTS Mix. The championship. And Dave is really concentrating. I think he's talking to his caddy.
Lining up the shot.
Lining
hole
up
in one.
The shot now. And it's in the hole.
And the crowd goes wild.
It's out of the hole and it's in the glass. All right, do the damn thing. I'm going to do this first time until I get it right. Hang on. I'm going to do this. No, I am going to do this. I'm just for pride.
I know
this is
FCC compliant, so I got to say,
just for
you
pride
suck
sake.
At this game.
Thank you. Well, no kidding.
All right,
here we go.
3-0. Okay, just
do you have another margarita after this?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Just to see if you can hold this in.
All right, you ready?
I was
up?
Born ready.
Right,
go ahead and drop that mother.
All right, here we go.
Oh, finally.
It went around the rim and just barely.
Finally.
I mean, it almost bounced out.
Folks, it was like a basketball shot. I mean, it really was. It's really amazing. Okay, and now we're going to have your lovely wife sniff the quarter. She slapped my hand and the quarter has gone over to a gentleman's table. Sorry, she was just kidding, sir.
We should probably just leave that for the waiter.
Yes.
It
smells like chicken.
I need a cigarette after this.
Yeah. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed this little remote from the Nuevo Casita restaurant here in Dallas, Texas. And until next time for another rousing game of bar darts. By the way, I'm gonna put up photos for those of you that can't understand the audio version, so you have a physical.
Were you taking pictures of this while this was going on?
No, but I'm going to create a manual on how to play butt darts that we'll put up for the show.
Wow.
The show.
Okay, I probably say this is going to be flagged and starred, and please dig this one. Dig it right out of your
dig the mother. Yeah, dig it out of your crevice or whatever. All right, until next round of butt darts. First off, I got to say how enjoyable it's been to have. My old friend that we
physically have first met today, Spencer, Tracy. By the way, everybody keeps thinking they're dead. I don't know.
Maybe so. Funny how that is.
And his beautiful wife, quote-unquote, Mo. Is that her real name, or is that not her real name?
She's got two brothers called Larry and Curly.
That's
okay.
Right. Anyway, his beautiful wife, Mo, is with us. And we want to thank everybody for listening to the ATS Mix and the BTS Mix shows. So until next time, for another rousing round of championship butt darts, I'm Dave Rabbit.
I'm Spencer Tracy.
And we'll see you next time on the Butt Dart Show.
Woo-hoo!
Well, John and Nader, what do you think about that?
I think that you probably got stared at quite a bit.
All right. Well, until next time. I'm Dave Rabbit.
I'm Johnny Anonymous.
See ya!
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.